You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Judge said guilty on a make-believe trial. Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile and said, supper's waiting at home and I've got to get to it. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your southern old backwoods southern lawyer. Cause the judge in the town's got the last.
Talking to Sam Dixon about the Just Us system could fill an hour, and surely over these many years and these many interviews he's made with us, we have done so. But that's a song that, for no good reason at all, always makes me think of Sam. We were actually in the car, my wife and I, driving, and I heard that song the other day again for the first time in a long time.
Is that Vicki Lawrence?
She was the original. That was Reba McEntire's cover.
I thought that was some other voice.
But, of course, Sam Dixon is an attorney. And an orator extraordinaire. He identifies himself as a racial communitarian activist. And Sam, among many other things, was one of the earliest advocates of the creation of an ethnostate for white Christian Europeans on the North American continent. And he is back with us tonight. And we have him on as often as we can, though never often enough. Sam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. You seem to be doing fine yourselves.
I'm always a live wire. Always made better when you're on with us, and I do mean that. And, of course, you and I were talking earlier this week, and there is a variety of topics I want to touch on with you tonight, so perhaps not a general theme for the hour, as we sometimes do, but maybe we'll compartmentalize it. We'll do one per segment. But I was teasing this out earlier in the program, and you made mention I normally don't like to backtrack, so we did the Charlottesville five-year anniversary show with Jason Kessler and with Michael Hill, among others. And you, though, had told me earlier this week that there was a glaring omission in our coverage. And once you told me what it was, even I was aghast. And I said, Sam, we got to have you back on to help us out. So what was it?
People did not speak of the Heapy Report. The Heapy Report was done by the City of Charlottesville own lawyer. They hired a former federal prosecutor from Richmond named Timothy Heapy. And nobody can accuse him of being in any way associated with us in any form or fashion. And he was being paid by the City of Charlottesville to find out what went wrong. And his report is very favorable. His report says that what went wrong was that the African-American police chief ordered the police and law enforcement not to enforce the law, but to allow crimes to take place, so as to provide him and the mayor and the governor with a pretext upon which to cancel the whites' rally around the Lee statue and violate their First Amendment rights. And the thing that makes that so important is the fact that it comes from them, from their lawyer. I think a lot of times we overlook the obvious in this cause that we're engaged in. And you know, when you have our people complaining about how they were mistreated, that people regard that as self-pleading. And a lot of people likely to say, well, then good. You know, these bad people were mistreated. They deserved to be mistreated. But when you have their own lawyer say that something as extraordinary as this took place, that's them speaking. It's an admission against interest, as we call it in law. And that's a much more persuasive thing than you or I complaining about it.
Well, Sam, this is Keith. I guarantee you MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, PBS were not running that as a featured article when they were doing the report on this.
Keith, you are too cynical. National Public Radio did cover it one time.
Yeah.
and the way National Public Radio and all things considered coverage was they featured the vice president of the local chapter of the NAACP complaining that the sheriff's resignation that he was forced to tender within 48 hours of that report was just more white racism, the kind of thing you expect from white Southerners. So NPR did cover it. They explained it's all white racism.
In a matter of speaking, right?
Well, this was incredible. And what's incredible about it was, and I guess in the 5 years since Charlottesville, we have mentioned this before. Certainly we should have mentioned it during the five-year anniversary program. But this, if you're missing it, or if you've missed it, or if you have never heard of this before, what we're talking about here wasn't some intrepid attorney who was independently investigating this. This was the attorney who was, or the independent investigator who was hired by the city of Charlottesville itself. This was, as Sam mentioned, their guy who was, I'm sure, expected to turn into a report favorable to the system. And what is it, Sam? What odds would you have put on him doing the research, coming to honest conclusions, and then reporting on his findings honestly? That has to be a very rare occurrence indeed.
Well, I'm afraid it is a rare occurrence. It's a very rare occurrence for a lawyer to come out with a report that his client wouldn't want. But I think, in a way, I was being facetious with Keith about the really squalid behavior of National Public Radio and the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and all the other elements of this wretched thing we call the system media. But, you know, we have to keep open the idea that there are some honest people. I don't know Mr. Heathy. My praising Mr. Heathy will cause him embarrassment. But he is a straight-up guy in a society full of really low-level, dishonest people.
Sam, what about this? No, and it's certainly we
are. Tell you what we ought to do, James. We ought to get that report and PDF it and put it on a blog roll so people can read it.
People can find it, certainly. Of course, the media 86 that. Well,
they've done their best. The media's done their best to bury it.
Well, I think that, yes, okay. But I got to ask Sam his opinion on this as an attorney and as an officer of the court. So this is from Rich Hamblin. This is interesting. So Rich was on that particular program we were mentioning. He was one of the participants at Charlottesville, was actually beaten in Charlottesville, or knocked to the ground at least. And you can see that on one of Netflix's own documentaries about the day. But Rich is in communicating with us right now, and he wants your opinion on this. The fact that the Heathy report wasn't admitted at the Charlottesville civil trial last fall because it was hearsay.
Well, I think, you know, I wasn't there. I can't judge what was done under the rules of evidence. I'd like to say it's more proof that the court was unfair, as if any additional proof were needed. But, you know, the tricky thing about law is that getting something into evidence is not easy. And to get that introduced into evidence, I think you would have had to have subpoenaed Mr. Heathy and had him what we call authenticated and lay the foundation for its admission into evidence. And I don't think any of that was done.
I think he would probably don't you think he would have had to have been qualified as an expert? Otherwise, he's basing his opinion on what other people said, which would be hearsay.
Well,
right?
Certainly, if he wasn't an expert, who would have been?
I think he could testify that he did the investigation and these were his findings. But he would have to have been there in person to testify.
All right, we got to take a break. We're going to get off Charlottesville, and we're going to go into Liz Cheney in the midterms, and then later still, Sam's take on the Trump raid. Greg Johnson covered it very well last week. We'll get Sam's takes.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
This is a battle. a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Back with the incomparable Sam Dixon, we are, and our conversation is going to shift to the last of the primaries in advance of the November midterm. So, Sam, I think we all celebrated the demise of Liz Cheney, and
stop.
As you put it,
stop.
All right, go.
I'm not through with Charlottesville yet.
By all means, continue.
I want to make a point to drive this home so the people who are listening and people in our cause can realize just how shocking what took place was. You had a man, a badge wearer, the top cop in Charlottesville, conspiring with politicians to violate the First Amendment. The First Amendment is not just some kind of wouldn't it be nice if thing. The First Amendment is the law of the land, and it says that American citizens will be guaranteed freedom of speech and the right to assemble to petition their government for redress of grievances. These First Amendment rights are put there in the First Amendment because they are first and foremost in a free society. And it was this law that the badge-wearing top cop set out with the assistance of politicians to violate. And I want them to think also, we hear a fictitious account of what life is like in the segregated South. Now, Black people believe it. Now, they've been taught this, that we were just, that Southern whites were just lynching and beating and killing Blacks and burning them alive and all this stuff. And you know, this is just nonsense. It's just totally untrue. Yes, there were lynchings. Yes, there were things. There are today. You've got Black juries that let people like O.J. Simpson go free. You've got that at all times, in history. But the image of the old South is totally contrary to the reality. Nowhere, to my knowledge, in the South during the desegregation, the movement to erase mix the schools, to desegregate and then integrate and then bus the kids in the schools. Keith is old enough to remember. Was there any Southern sheriff, any Southern police chief who ever told the police, don't enforce the law, let the white criminals run free, let them violate the rights of Blacks so we can conspire to get a pretext to deny Black citizens their First Amendment rights? That never took place. That's the kind of thing that takes place in the America of 2016. It's what happens in America today, because America today is so much worse than the worst chapters of our history. The depravity and the degree of tyranny is so much worse than anything we've ever experienced. So the Keefe report is a big deal, and what it reveals is a big deal. A police chief had to tender his resignation because of his wrongdoing. There were never any congressional hearings about this. Nobody investigated this kind of violation. Well, like the Black Lives Matter movement or George Floyd, they wanted to investigate that. But Nancy Pelosi, she can't get enough of that. It tastes good to her. She wants more of it. And so does Joe Biden. And so does the editorial board of the New York Times. They love it, and they want more of it, and they're going to work to get it. And that's the kind of government we have. So think about it. Think about what this means.
Well, Sam, let me say this. I lived through the Civil Rights Movement, and you are a native Southerner, so am I. You've dealt with black people all of your life. So have I. I told somebody that asked recently that black and white Southerners get along famously unless there's a third-party provocateur involved trying to stir up trouble between them. In the first Reconstruction, it was Yankee abolitionists. In the second Reconstruction, it was Jewish freedom rider types. Now, what happened at Charlottesville was professional malfeasance on the part of the black police chief. And I think that somebody should have filed a 1983 action if they could find a way to set it in a venue other than Charlottesville. That's something that I'd like to talk with you a little bit about, because Donald Trump right now is going to be prosecuted either in New York or D.C., and it's going to be a slam dunk to prosecute him there. Same thing happened with Alex Jones. Go ahead.
The district attorney at Atlanta is trying to indict him and will try him before a racially hostile jury. But, you know, it's just so bad. I have to just say, I think there were fault lines between blacks and whites in the South. Blacks were sometimes mistreated, as whites are frequently mistreated today, but it was not what it's made out to be. And the solution of this is what Thomas Jefferson said: we need separate states for separate people. You know, Tibetans and Irish Catholics don't have any problem with each other because they live in different countries. Northern Irish Protestants don't have any problem with Tibetans because they live in separate countries. The problems arise when you have radically different people who are having to live together, as we saw in Bosnia and Herzegovina. And the wise solution of this is to separate people the way Switzerland does with its canton system. They've got the Irish Catholics living in one corner of the country. They've got the German Presbyterians living in another canton. And this
I will say this, though, Sam. You know, my experience has been that on a person-to-person basis, a lot of the problems aren't there. They are manufactured by people that want to stir things up, like Jewish power.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, everybody can get along individually in terms of exchanging pleasantries. We all know that.
Not just that, working together, living together.
You're right. It's much worse. It's much worse. But we can't pretend that if you just got the Yankees and the Jews and the civil rights workers out of the equation, that everybody would be hunky-dory. We're just not meant to live in the same society. We're just not meant to do that. And it's not a matter of hating black people or whatever. We just would be much better off, as Malcolm X pointed out, we'd be much better off having separate states for separate folks. But anyway, let's move on. We can move on now to our beloved pinup girl, Liz Cheney.
Well, I don't think we'll need to spend much more than 60 seconds on this one. I think the biggest
one of the things I told James was that I hope this puts an end to the pernicious practice of putting some Washington insider into a place like Tennessee or in like with Bill Brock or the Cheneys in Wyoming that have nothing to do with that state. And that's, you know, they say that they want statehood for D.C. D.C. gets plenty of representation through people like the Cheneys and Bill Brock.
Well, I think it was written, Sam, that for the first time in nearly 60 years, you have no Cheney, no Clinton, no Bush in either an elected or appointed office. So there's something to be said for that.
No,
I guess we'll take...
Kennedy, if you had no Kennedys too, that would be even better.
We're getting there, I guess. But nevertheless, I think we all celebrate the fact that Cheney is gone. And a lot of the heads have rolled for those Republicans who voted to impeach President Trump. But what was your take on the midterms that are coming up, or any of the interesting primaries that you may have seen this season?
I don't think the Republicans will do well. It's just my personal guess. You know, the Republicans lost a race up in upstate New York that they had previously won. They lost a by-election.
Yeah.
I think the Republicans are running on issues that don't matter. They love this. They don't want to talk about what matters. They don't want to talk about race. They don't want to talk about the demographics. They don't want to talk about immigration. They don't want to talk about the cost of our support of Israel. They don't want to talk about any of these radioactive issues where they'll get attacked by the system media. They like to say things. That's why all but three of them voted to involve us in this war that's none of our business in Ukraine. The relief on their faces was palpable. At last, an issue that doesn't matter, on which we can preen, and we can
well,
all
you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the living room, too, is election integrity. I don't see any Republicans really taking serious steps, except for possibly Ron DeSantis in Florida, to assure the integrity of this upcoming election.
Well,
like I think
Sam,
it may be a blue wave rather than a red wave.
It's like Sam said, though, if they're running on terrible issues, they don't really have to cheat because they're hurting their own selves.
Yeah, well, they love inflation. They think they'll get something with inflation. These are not hot issues. They don't excite their base or their electorate, but they will not stand up for us. They will not fight for us. And they love these phony issues. And the real elephant in the room, Steve, is demographics. They're just an undertow of about 1.5-2% between every congressional election, every 2 years, that takes the country more toward a third world, more toward a radical left democratic thing. This is just sucking them down. The Republicans are basically finished. Even without
all right. That's actually, you know what? That's actually where I want to pick up next. I think we can make haste with this and then get on to the Trump raid. And one more parting shot on that. We'll let Sam deliver it until new information about that comes to light. But we'll be right back. Still much more to come.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
The potential for a radiation leak near the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine is getting the attention of both the Ukrainians and Russians. It's Europe's largest nuclear power plant. Residents near it are being given iodine tablets in case there is a radiation exposure. But Leon Zizel, president of the European Nuclear Society, told Canada's Global News that things aren't as grim.
All this is kind of a fear-mongering, and both sides need the electricity. So that's the reason that the plant is still there and operating.
The plant was knocked offline temporarily on Thursday due to fire damage to a transmission line. Oregon Governor Kate Brown has declared an emergency after a massive fire erupted in the southwestern part of her state. The Rum Creek Fire in Josephine County has reached 4,700 acres, according to her office. Evacuation warnings have been put into place by the county sheriff. This is USA Radio News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Have you driven a Ford lately? It'll cost you more next year for one model.
Ford is raising the price of the Mustang Mach-E electric vehicle for the 2023 model year. The automaker announcing the sticker price will be around $8,000 more for a fully optioned vehicle. Ford says the cost of materials, supply chain issues, and market conditions all factored in the price hike. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Hydrologists predict that the Pearl River near Jackson, Mississippi will crest by Tuesday. Emergency officials are telling residents in low-lying areas to prepare for a flood. Jackson Mayor Chakwe Lumumba has urged residents in flood zones to pack enough belongings to get them through several days of evacuation, adding that police officers will increase their patrols to protect property. Facebook's parent company reached a tentative settlement in a lawsuit accusing it of feeding its users information to a firm that supported former President Trump's 2016 campaign. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back, everybody. We are now looking at the midterm elections, and I don't want to be confusing here to anybody who is listening. So, you know, for months and months and months, going back well into last year, in fact, we have been celebrating and lauding what's going on in the Republican voter base. But that is certainly an entirely different animal than the Republican Party and its elected leaders or representatives. I hate to use the word leader, but elected officials anyway. So we separate the two. We differentiate between the two. And with regard to Republicans themselves, is it better, Sam, that they take a big defeat this November for our long-term health and for the benefit of being able to move on to whatever's going to come next? I think the conventional wisdom was it was looking earlier this year to be a big Republican win, or at least that's what a lot of people were forecasting. And then you had the Dobbs decision.
Many mainstream commentators are still saying that.
Yeah, the Dobbs decision that some are saying animated the Democratic base, Keith saying, you know, maybe voter fraud or whatever. But how would you like to see it play out in November?
Well, I place no hope in elections, as you know. I think that you can't win an election in America, even if votes were counted accurately. You know, people live in a cocoon. I have a brother who lives in Berkeley, California, where he owns apartment buildings. And he told me he was at a party in 1972 when McGovern got only 37-38% of the vote against Nixon. And his friends and tenants and all were there, and they all agreed that the election had been stolen because they didn't know a single person that voted for Richard Nixon. And what it shows, they were just prisoners of their community. And it's the same for us. People live in these white cocoons like Eastern North Carolina or Western Tennessee or West Virginia, and they think they see America. They don't see America. In Georgia, 46% of the registered voters are non-white. 46%,
wow.
And it's
wow.
growing every year. How can you win an election if you're a Republican? You know, is it any wonder that Biden carried the state or that Stacey Abrams almost got elected governor? There's no wonder at all about it. I mean, and this,
about
it
then there's another way to look at it, though, which is it's almost like a 50-50 split. In terms of geographic area, there is much more of America that's red state America than blue state America. They have the urban centers, and we don't know what else is at play here, but something is rotten in the walls of Denmark. I think a lot of people have that feeling, and, you know, I don't, you know, somebody said when something can't go on forever, it won't, and I don't know what's going to happen, but
there's a... Yeah. I've mentioned this before, but you know, one of the great blessings in my life was when I was young, I had this fabulous Russian tutor who'd been a nurse in the White Russian army that had fought against Lenin. And Natasha was always very serene, not strident, not edgy, when she said that communism would disappear in Russia. And she said, it's contrary to God's law, it's contrary to science, it's contrary to natural law, and it's contrary to human nature, and it cannot survive. And what our enemies are trying to do is they're trying to build a skyscraper out of balsa wood. It doesn't matter how many architects you have, no matter how many chairmen of architectural schools in America you have that say that, oh, science has shown that you can build a skyscraper out of balsa wood. No, you cannot build a skyscraper out of balsa wood. And you cannot build a first world country out of Haitian and Mexican immigrants. That's not going to happen. So
that's our famous comment. You can't have a first world community with a third world population.
And listen, no. I think to Sam's point, I mean, obviously we're not suggesting that going out and voting for Republicans is going to turn things around for our people. The whole Mr. Smith goes to Washington is silly. And we just saw, if you needed further evidence, one of the supposed Republican stars, Kristi Noem, just paid fealty to Israel yet again in a press conference and had a press conference.
But, you know, all these conservatives, though, guys, James and Sam, that got all enthused about the Dobbs decision and ending Roe versus Wade, all the air is going to be let out of their balloon if you know, if things turn as badly as we think they may in this election, because one of the first things Biden will do if he has a majority in the Senate and the House is going to be pass a nationwide law legalizing abortion.
Well, look, if they could, and they would get rid of the filibuster, and they'd stack the Supreme Court, and they would do all of this. And that's, I think, why the only reason I'm even talking or even asking Sam, rather, let me rephrase my question to him. Not are we rooting for Republicans to win or whatever, but what is the best outcome for the long-term health of our race, Sam? Is it that the Democrats get in and do their damnedest when our people get hungry? Maybe then they'll
I can't answer that question. Yeah, you know, there are times when maybe the Republicans would be the best thing to make people give up on the system. If McCain, the senator from Arizona, I think it was, you know, he was one of our worst enemies. A big pal, by the way, of Liz Cheney and her odious father, Dick Cheney, and cut from the same bolt of cloth, a pimp for the munitions industry and for the war industry, the military-industrial complex that liberals used to pretend to oppose, and which I've opposed all my life, even when I was a student. I was against the Vietnam War, but not because I loved Ho Chi Minh. I was against it because I was an isolationist, and I agreed with MacArthur. We had no business fighting a land war in Asia. But the Cheneys, every time I look at that woman, I see wheelchairs with guys in them with their legs blown off, stretching the horizon, so she and her father could pick up another $100 million. I despise her the way I don't despise Nancy Pelosi. But when you look at it, if McCain had become president, even though he was a Republican, he probably would have been done more to destroy the Republican Party and the system in America than Obama.
So, well, I told somebody recently, Sam, that if you go to hell, you're going to meet McCain and Liz Cheney and her father.
Well, to be sure, you're going to meet a lot of them on the other side too. But well, that actually, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this, Sam. And we are going to get off practical politics after this because we have to be thinking in another dimension, I think, at this point in the game. But I can't have you on Georgia's favorite son without asking you about this race. They got so much press last time, but not as much this time. What's going on with Abrams and Kemp, and are you going to show up in November?
I think they're saying that the media is subtly backing Kemp. They backed off from where they're backing of Abrams, and they're talking about what a tough governor, what a strong governor. And he's running as the governor that's tough on crime. All of that is a lie. We'd be better off with Stacey Abrams than Brian Kemp. And I'm going to vote for Stacey Abrams. I don't think I'm being cute or extreme. Stacey Abrams could not have done anywhere near the damage that has been done to our state by Brian Kemp. The Republicans would have opposed her. Her proposals could not have gone through the state legislature. They have no idea how bad Brian Kemp is. Brian Kemp is so bad, you could hardly invent someone that bad. And also his odious mentor, the guy, Kemp is not very bright. And he's basically told what to do by the Attorney General, Chris Carr, who is another Republican who's terrible. He was the office manager for Senator Johnny Isaacson, who was one of the Gang of Eight, tried to open the borders and give us an amnesty. And little Chris Carr was up there cooking on that. He was working on that. Now he's our Attorney General. And the two of them are just beyond belief. They repealed the citizen's arrest law in Georgia because Ahmaud Arbery's mother and their supporters said that the citizen's arrest law was passed by a white racist legislature to enable white people to arrest black people, which, of course, is just an absurdity. But Kemp went along with that. Kemp said, we got to repeal the white racist law that allows people to detain criminals. And so they did it. And they said this was passed by a white racist Georgia legislature. I went online, and as Kemp and Carr were saying that, there were 48 states in the union that had citizens' arrest laws, including all six in New England. But that didn't stop Kemp from lying about it to get his photo op. And as a result of Brian Kemp now, if somebody comes into your convenience store and shoots you and steals the money, and you manage to reach under the or stabs you, and you manage to reach under the counter and get a gun, and you've got a gun on him, you got to let him know you're just a citizen. You can't arrest that thing. So thank you. That's the Brian Kemp who's tough on crime. Give me a break, for Pete's sake.
Well, see,
I mean, I could go on and on with the stuff that guy has done. The Republicans would never have repealed citizens' arrest law. Had Stacey Abrams and Ahmaud Arbery's mother been up there calling for it, but they went along with it because it was their governor who was doing it.
That's a great point.
Oh, you know, I don't think people understand what a miscarriage of justice that McMichael trial was.
I can't even talk about it. People ask why we haven't talked about it. It's almost too disturbing to even talk about. Sam?
Yeah, and you had the governor, you had Kemp and the attorney general influencing tainting the jury pool. They called a press conference and claimed that the video showed white people just gunning down a black jogger. That is not true. That was a lie that Brian Kemp and Chris Clark said about the video, but they put it in the minds of people in the jury pool. People like this do not have authority over other human beings.
All because also he could be pat on the head by the media, presumably. I mean, why else would he do it?
Yeah.
It's just
they
a terrible
pat him on the head because he's a Republican.
Sick.
When will they learn?
Gotta take one more break. Sam Dixon, one more segment next. American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
You know, every time we have Sam Dixon on, I know that the audience learns quite a bit. I have learned so much from Sam over the years. I want to tell you just a quick story before we go back to this last topic and this last segment of the hour. I had traveled out of town to appear on a television show. It had to be 8 to 10 years ago now. And I was in the hotel getting ready to go to this taping the next morning, and I called Sam on the phone. Sam probably won't remember this, but I was using him to bounce some ideas off of on if this question comes up, how would I handle it? And the topic of individualism versus collectivism came up. And I had said some comment praising the rugged individualism of Americans. And Sam said, oh, no, as he has told me from time to time. And then he explained about collectivism. And yeah, I think anybody who would turn their position on a dime in a moment that you have to be suspicious of. And I think I still use the rugged individual comment the next day or something. But over the years, here's the point. Over the years, I have learned so much from Sam, and so much of my own thinking and the way that I present the issues has been informed by him, whether it be in private conversation or the things that I've heard him say on this program, and imitation and flattery and all
of that.
Of course,
Sam is absolutely right. Rugged individualism is used to prevent us from having a collective sense of racial solidarity.
Well,
as
I think,
whites.
Yeah, people That's learn right. as they get older, and I am no exception to that. But anyway, Sam has a way of phrasing things that takes to an argument like a knife to to butter. And we really do need to sit down, Sam, at some point in the not-too-distant future and do a biographical, autobiographical interview with you. One more story. About 3 years ago, NBC was taping a pilot, and I got an email from them, and I asked Sam if he wanted to do it. Sam, you did fly out. You taped this pilot. That's a whole nother story. But in doing that, you had sent me your bio, which I had sent to the producers, and then, of course, they booked you right away. And I was just reading through the 5 pages of bio, and this is really something that we have to do, folks. I mean, you're really listening to a true treasure here. Anyway, Sam, the Trump raid, that's been covered, I think, now, and it's a couple of weeks old, but I would like to ask you about it. You were actually one of the ones I wanted to ask about when it first happened, and let's go back to reasons for optimism. Outside of Republicans versus Democrats in the midterms and in 2024 and whatever election season, every election is the most important of our lifetime, just like every heavyweight fight is the fight of the century, you know. But anyway, there are reasons for optimism. How does the Trump raid play into what we hope will be
the
into our
picture.
Hands? Yes.
I think it's just wonderful. I could not have. I've made the statement over and over again, and that is the set of people who never fail us are our enemies. Our friends fail us, the other members of our race fail us, other Southerners fail us, other Americans fail us, but our enemies are not failing us. They're doing everything I would have them do. And this the behavior of the FBI, not merely in this raid, but over the last 5 years, for the first time in my life, I can live among my people and know that a large number of them know the FBI. But what it really is and what it has always been, even or most especially under J. Edgar Hoover. Most of my life, I've had to grind my teeth in impotent rage listening to conservatives talk about how wonderful FBI, and it is not wonderful. It is the political police of America. It has always been the political police. It is our enemy. And it is a force for oppression and lawlessness. And that's what it is. And
well, it's like Napoleon said, when you see your enemy making a mistake, don't interrupt him.
That's right. I mean, this is just wonderful. The whole situation in America is so encouraging. You know, the January 6th investigations, the police raid on Trump's house. These are things like you would expect to see in Zaire or Port-au-Prince. Even Stalin handled such things better than Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney and the people on the January 6th committee. You know, they retained a Hollywood movie guy to help stage the great trial. Even Stalin would have been embarrassed to do that. But you have this silly format, that little Cheney woman. They're admittedly counting her money from her next war and dismissing all the guys in the wheelchair who helped her make her money. And they're all sitting there, and they have these overheads and all this kind of stuff. They'd be too embarrassed to do that in Botswana or Ghana.
Well, it's like they say, you would say America is a banana republic, that would be insulting to banana republics.
It would be. And this raid by the FBI, the stuff that's come out about the FBI, it's not news to me. I've known about the FBI, since I was a teenager. But I didn't dare tell people about the FBI because I knew most of the people that were friends of mine worshipped J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI. They had no idea how horrible it was.
Well, Sam, let's stay on this topic for a second. And you had said this on another program a couple of weeks ago, and it was one of the best ways I've ever heard the argument framed with regards to what's going on with the FBI. And you used as a catalyst these FBI investigations when some First Amendment flyers that say nothing but the truth are found in neighborhoods. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, the power to investigate is the power to destroy. Most people are devastated by an FBI investigation. They're terrified. Most people are not very courageous. And the FBI, throughout its history, has had this habit of investigating American citizens who are doing nothing more than exercising their rights under the Bill of Rights. Yeah, I've experienced this with them. You read about it in the newspaper. There was an article in the McKay paper in Atlanta several years ago about Doraville, which is a suburb of Atlanta. And the headline was something like, "White hate leaflets in Doraville." And, of course, they never tell you what the hate was. And if it really was hate, if it was some kind of awful thing like calling for lynchings or violence against African Americans, they'd be happy to tell you. But it probably is something about the replacements or immigration. But anyway, they ended it by saying that the FBI field office said they're on it and they're investigating. What is there to investigate about American citizens handing out pamphlets?
It was that way from the very beginning, Sam, that, you know, Machine Gun Kelly was his, you know, J. Edgar Hoover's first big event. He was from Memphis, and he was portrayed to be this bloodthirsty public enemy number one type of guy. He never killed anybody. In fact, the guy that he kidnapped told the court that if it weren't for Machine Gun Kelly, the other people would have killed him. He was pleading for his life, you know. This is, you know, everything they do is a bunch of theater.
They're just awful. And, you know, Sean Hannity has this thing where he says that, well, there's some bad ones at the top, because they're so awful at the top that everybody that votes Trump, everybody that isn't a Biden-Obama ditto head, everybody knows how bad they are at the top now, Comey and all these others. But Sean goes on to say that we've got tens of thousands of fine, brave, patriotic men. No,
that's because he comes from an Irish cop family, and he has family members that work for the FBI.
The FBI agents are going to be out investigating the people who pass these leaflets, going and talking to their employers, talking to their families and parents and their neighbors. They know perfectly well that they're violating the law. It's a condition of their job that they intimidate and bully American citizens who exercise their First Amendment rights in ways that the head table doesn't like. And we have always been their primary target, not the communists. It's always been us. Back in 1968, when Don Black gave some pamphlets about the race issue to classmates in his 10th grade class, 2 days later, two FBI agents showed up at his parents' house to talk to them. The agency is concerned about little 15-year-old. We want to talk to his parents. He's handing out leaflets about something he shouldn't be saying. The FBI has time for these brave, fine
agents. Big Brother is watching.
And here's the thing. With 2 minutes remaining, and I want to end on an uplifting note as we try to do, but see, here's how far it's come, though, Sam, since the Don Black's 10th grade year and where we are now, and we 87% of Trump voters this, 73% that, a third want to secede, and now you have sitting members of Congress and governors even saying abolish the FBI. All revolutions are top-down, we know that, but you've got an undercurrent of discontent among the white, middle, and working class. I think they need to suffer a little bit more. Maybe they need to be a little hungrier. And we don't know how it's going to go. We could miss the opportunity.
But there's some ferment involved here, though.
Somebody could step in and really harness that discontent and really do something with it if we can have our Franco.
The times make the men, and you know, there are people we don't know who could step forward. I listened to what you said about the things that are being said by that guy that heads Turning Point. I don't look to these people for leadership. They have given no leadership for years.
No, I don't either. Not then.
But I believe this. There are people we don't know who will come forward. They're not in our movement. We don't have the quality of people in our movement. Somebody will step forward. I just hope that that they understand it cannot be a restoration of the America of the 1950s. We tried the American experiment, and the results are in. The American experiment has failed. It's time to move on to find something new. And that's the kind of leadership we need. We need a very different type of society. We cannot have a society based on the concept, on a fantasy, a lunatic fantasy, that all men are created equal when there's never been
an autocracy.
We don't want a complete dictatorship, but we need something that's radically different. This was an French Enlightenment experiment. It worked fairly well when there was nobody here but white Anglo-Saxons. It's not going to work now. It can't be saved. It can't be made to work. But I'm confident that there are 130 million Americans of British extraction and 100 million more related nationalities are not going to walk off the stage of history and just disappear without taking a stand.
There are reasons. I believe that too, Sam, in my heart. No matter what, we'll do our duty, but certainly it makes it easier to do our duty when we feel as though something's going to turn. And I feel that you feel that.
And the greatest enemies we face are not people like St. Pierre, but it's people like Brian Kemp and these bully boys.
Yes. I'm saying that in the first hour. We're out of time. Yeah, I agree. There are reasons for optimism. Sam gave a speech earlier this summer called Reasons for Optimism, and you'll hear more about that in the coming months. Thank you, Sam Dixon. We'll talk to you again soon, brother. We'll be right back with the third hour.